Sing, O sing of my Redeemer. With his blood he purchased me. On the cross he sealed my pardon, paid the debt, and made me free. Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you, Lord, O God, that you're our Father, that you love us, and we can have that strong peace and assurance in our hearts that we can come to you with any need, any request, any concern, any thought, any story, that you love spending time with us and having that one-on-one time that we can have with you anytime we want. We thank you for the abundance of access we have to your throne of grace in our times of need, and that you will hear our cry and you respond to our cry. Father, we just ask that this morning you would touch our hearts with your word of truth, and we'd be greatly, greatly encouraged, Lord, in the victory that we have in Jesus today. And Father, we look to you now and ask for the leading and enabling of the Holy Spirit and give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. There's a lot of times after concluding kind of a series like we just had from Romans chapter 5, I had no idea that was going to go that long, but I'm glad it did, personally. This week in giving thought to the message for today what things are of value, you know, not what just means something to me, but a value for all of us. And I think it's a little bit of a testimony that I mentioned here a couple weeks ago, but in seeking the Lord, there's just this one word that came to me and has stayed with me. It's the word boast. To boast. And I'll define the word Old Testament, New Testament here in a bit. But think of a boast. Another thing that brought it to mind here we are with the beginning of football season again. As you all know, that I'm pretty much totally disengaged from. But there's recently in the news and sports lots of talk about, you know, local and other state football teams, college football teams and all. And they all start off the season with a lot of bravado and boasting that, well, we're going to do this and we have this and, building up their spirits and encouraging the fans and all sorts of things and making their boast. And I went into work, what was it, Thursday, I think it was. And after our morning staff meeting, I'd forgotten that she's supposed to be the regional boss now rather than my direct boss, but she's a huge, huge Husker football fan. And after the meet, I said, Nebraska made national news twice this week. And she kind of paused, and other people paused. They said, well, first there's the big volleyball game event last Wednesday night. That was the largest gathering ever, physical gathering ever, of people watching a women's sport. And that has made national, international news. And then there's the guy from Norfolk who is hauling the bull around in his car, and how that made national news. That's a whole other story. Somebody said, how could it hold that? I said, well, it used to be a government car, so it's used to hauling a lot of bull. But anyway, my boss then turned around and stopped and says, and then there was the game. I totally forgot about the football game on a Thursday night or whenever it was, not a weekend. And she was really disappointed. Again, I have no idea what the score was. I have no idea how it went, but I kind of take it they had lost. They snatched defeat from the jaws of victory, something like that. But she thought I was. But that's the first thing that popped into her mind, and so that was big news in her world. But here, a couple weeks ago, I mentioned how I've been out mowing these 40 whatever acres of the CRP grass, and I was thanking the Lord for my tractor. It's going to be 60 years old this next year. And I just thank the Lord how it runs good. It's able to do, it's pretty heavy stuff. I was cutting, tough grass and weeds and sunflowers up to like 15 feet tall in places and really working it hard. And Tuesday and Wednesday, I put in probably 15 hours of straight hard work on that tractor. But I mentioned how I had to thank God for that tractor being able to have that and not have to buy something newer and bigger and a lot more expensive. And that next Saturday night, I just made it home and it died because it was so hot. That's when it was about, close to what the heat index was 109 or something. And I just had to let it cool off overnight and it started again. But I boasted. I thanked God for that tractor and kind of boasted that God was able to give me that thing. And the devil immediately, it just became a battle. Well, immediately it did something it's never done. It quit running. But it started up again. Things seemed to be pretty good. And I put it to work again through this week. And again, thank you, God. God, I thank you for this tractor. And you kind of make a target out of yourself when you start to boast in the Lord and the Lord's faithfulness. Well, this week I had another problem with it. And it seemed like it was going to be maybe a very expensive problem that was not going to be worth fixing. But as it seems to have turned out, the Lord gave me insight into what the problem is, and it's really nothing at all. But again, when we start to boast prematurely, we set ourselves up. But when we boast in the Lord, we are not boasting prematurely. So let's turn to 1 Kings chapter 20. Where we find the first use of the word boast, as boast. And here's a confrontation between Israel and Syria. And we won't read a lot into it, except as they did during times of battle, and we're going to be running short on time, unfortunately. But anyway, I'll hurry as much as I can. Kings would send out messengers back and forth and boasting and putting down and trying to discourage the other king from battle, to discourage them into the point of giving up or just surrendering. And so there's a lot of boasting back and forth. And so that's what was taking place, that Ben-Hadad, the king of Syria, in chapter 20, verse 1, 1 Kings 20, verse 1, and he sent messengers to Ahab, the king of Israel, into the city, and said unto him, thus saith Ben-Hadad, thy silver and thy gold is mine. You've already lost. All your riches are mine. Thy wives also, and thy children, even the best ones of them, they're mine. And the king of Israel answered and said, my lord, O king, according to thy saying, I am thine and all that I have. And the messengers came again, and speaketh Ben-Hadad, saying, although I have sent unto thee, saying, thou shalt deliver me thy silver and thy gold and thy wives and thy children, yet I will send my servants unto thee tomorrow about this time, and they shall search thine house and the houses of thy servants, and it shall be that whatsoever is pleasant in their eyes, they shall put it in their hand and take it away. So the king of Israel called all the elders of Israel and said, Mark, I pray you, and see how this man seeketh mischief. For he sent unto me for my wives and for my children and for my silver and my gold, and I denied him not. So Ahab was intimidated and did send some of that stuff to him, some of those possessions and his people. And all the elders and the people said unto him, hearken not unto him, nor consent. Wherefore he said unto the messengers of Ben-Hadad, tell the Lord my the king, all that thou didst send for to thy servants at the first I will do, but this thing I may not do. And the messengers departed and brought him word again. And Ben-Hadad said unto him, boastingly, said, the gods do so unto me, and more also, if the dust of Samaria shall suffice for handfuls for all the people that follow me. In other words, he has such a great following that the dust of Samaria is not even equal to the number of people following him. And the king of Israel, this is the verse I want to get to, and the king of Israel answered and said unto him, or said to him, tell him, let not him girdeth on his harness, let not him that girdeth on his harness boast himself as he that putteth it off. In other words, let not him that's putting on the armor, getting prepared for battle, boast like someone who's been through the battle, who's put it on, been through the battle, and won, and takes it back home and takes it off, and it can boast in the victory. There's a lot of wisdom in that. A lot of humility in our lives that we need to understand that there's a lot of boasting in this world. Right now in the political field, you know, people boasting about their abilities, what they could do, and all this stuff. They're boasting as if they've maybe already won, and all the problems they can fix, and how they can make all our lives better. And there's a chicken in every pot, and a dozen eggs in every refrigerator, and a new car in a garage, and gosh, just vote me in the office, and your life is just going to be so much better. And all this boasting. But how many of you who have boasted those things, after they get elected, you actually find a chicken in every pot and a dozen eggs in the refrigerator, and you have a new car in your garage? Somehow those things never seem to materialize. But people buy into the boasting ahead of time. But let not a person who's just putting on their battle armor and preparing themselves to go out and take a victory, they should not boast like someone who's already been to the battle, taken the victory, and have returned home safely with the bounty. Boasting is something that's going on in a tremendous fashion these days. People fight battles with words and boasting, and we're going to do this and we're going to do that. And, you know, there's nothing you can do to stop us. There's nothing you can do to change the outcome. You are defeated. I'm going to take all your money, and I'm going to take your best wives. I'm going to take your children. I'm going to take all those things that are near and dear to you, because just because I can, and there's nothing you can do to stop me. That's a pretty blatant boast. This word boast here means to be clear and shine. But really, in this sense, to make a show. To boast and thus be foolish. And to celebrate prematurely. Like my boss. I mean, she was celebrating up, I guess, till the third quarter. And then, again, I don't know what happened, but she wasn't celebrating at the end of the fourth quarter. Very disappointed. Defeated, apparently. So boasting in oneself, boasting in this world, this is something that the world does. And it's a thing that Satan does. He boasts himself of all he's going to do and all the power he has and what he's going to bring about. And it appears that he has all manner of power in the world today. And he's boasting in himself. But when we as Christians, and we're called to boast, but when we as Christians boast in the Lord, we are boasting in a victory in a battle that is already won. Or the outcome is truly sure and more abundant than what we possibly imagined. If we turn to Psalm 94, I'd like to pick up a few verses here, but I'd like to really like to get to probably one of the just a really great example from Scripture. Psalm 94 and verse 1. We read, O Lord God, to whom vengeance belongeth, O God, to whom vengeance belongeth, show thyself. Lift up thyself, thou judge of the earth, render a reward to the proud. Lord, how long shall the wicked and how long shall the wicked triumph? How long shall they utter and speak hard things, and the workers of iniquity boast themselves? If you're like me, you're getting really tired of hearing, I'll just say, Satan, the devil, or those that oppose good, I mean, those that would oppose Christianity. Getting real tired of hearing them boast, these workers of iniquity, boasting in themselves. I mean, I've read all sorts of articles about, you know, how the end of Christianity is near at hand, and people aren't going to church, and people aren't really believing what they say they believe, and Bible studies across the world and the nation have keep dwindling because Christians have simply just don't care anymore, and church attendance has dropped in so many major ways, and major denominations are bringing in all sorts of corruption into their midst, and others driving others away. And that's just the devil boasting in the destruction and the discouragement of believers, bringing conflict and disarray. But the godly cry out, how long, O Lord, how long is this boasting going to continue? Do we have to put up with this? And God, in his love and in his patience, he helps us to understand that as he tarries, as he waits, as he exhibits patience, that there are other lives that are come into his kingdom, and he's not willing that any should fail, any should be lost. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all men would come to a knowledge of the truth and be saved. But there's a time coming when that balance is going to tip. It's going to tip because the Lord will say, it is time. And these saints have gotten to the point, and it is time to show forth his vengeance. And the years of tribulation will come upon this earth. And his laws will kick in, and he'll start enforcing them vehemently. But there's a weariness in our hearts and our souls. The verse, Psalm 97, just turn a page here. Psalm 97 and verse 7. I'll just stay with that. Confounded be all they that serve graven images, they that boast themselves of idols. Worship him, all ye gods. Those who serve other gods, I've kind of broadened, you know, we think of those that serve other gods. You know, they go to other churches or they serve other gods or images or idols. Really, it's the idol worship and in service to those and those philosophies, you know, that is all worldly things that people that believe in this world and the future and the accomplishments of mankind, those who boast and have faith in what man can do, are going to be confounded, completely, utterly confounded. When suddenly the things of God become physically manifest, they will be without words. To say, what do you mean? We decided this was not real, not accurate. You know, we decided a long time ago that this Jesus stuff, there's people that doubt that Jesus ever lived and had written books about it, and none of these things ever happened. All sorts of these just stories. And there's one thing that I've learned here over the last couple of weeks. You know, you can read things on the internet that sound well documented. They really sound good and profound, but they are absolute lies. Imagine that. Lies on the internet. There is a massive ongoing effort by people in the world to cheat and trick people out of their money and out of their possessions, and to discourage them whatever by whatever means, by sales techniques, by telling them absolute lies. Absolute lies. There are people who gain power and run governments that stand and speak absolute lies. But if they have the force of the government and the people, the servants under them, if they have their support and their backing, they can continue to lie and never get called on it. It comes back to this whole thing that, you know, again, I struggled for years with that saying, you know, if a tree falls in a forest, but nobody's there to hear it, does it really make a noise? I always wondered, well, of course it makes a noise. It's like, you know, the whole light in your refrigerator thing also. Does it really go off? We just trust that it goes off. But that has become such a real thing, because if there are things that happen, and if it's not reported, if it's not made known, if that information is not passed on, then it's as if it never happened. And if people are not called on lies, and it's not made known that they are lies, then people can go on living in lies. But the Lord is the one who hears. The Lord is the one that knows these things, and he knows how the world boasts itself in itself. And that will all come to an end quickly, as a thief in the night. The world, as Paul mentions in 1 Thessalonians 5, he says, when the world and the leaders of the world and these nations gather together and they announce, we've achieved peace and safety. The world's going to be okay because we have accomplished peace and safety. God never has, nobody else ever has, but we have now accomplished peace and safety. Aren't those wonderful words and wonderful things if they were true? Well, Scripture says, then sudden destruction shall come upon them as a thief in the night. Our trust is in the Lord. Our boast is in the Lord. And we will not be confounded. Proverbs 27:1. Proverbs 27 and verse 1. This comes down to a more personal level. But it's a proverb is, you know, something, a bit of wisdom that we need to know. It says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Well, tomorrow I'm going to do this. Tomorrow I'm going to do that. James says the same thing, basically. Boast not of tomorrow. I don't know what I'm going to do tomorrow. I don't know if I'm going to be on earth tomorrow. We do not know what this day contains. We don't know how our lives may change. We've all experienced how quickly our lives can change in so many different ways. But in wisdom, we learn not to boast ourselves of tomorrow, because we don't know what this day may bring that's going to change. And I see this all of the time in my work and in talking to people, but we all do. Well, people say, well, you know, we're going to do this and we're going to do that and we're going to get this fixed and we're going to, this is not going to happen to us because we have this plan and then that plan. And then suddenly it just all falls apart. Boast not thyself in tomorrow. So there's nothing in this world that we can, without standing within the realm of God's word and his promises, that we can legitimately boast ourselves in. Not any one of us. And it's wise that we learn not to boast. Again, the Old Testament definition is to make a show or boast that you're going to do this or that, or to be foolish or celebrate. Well, tomorrow's going to be my 100th birthday. I'm going to celebrate like crazy. And people don't celebrate their 100th birthday. Tomorrow I start this great new job, and it's just going to be wonderful and get paid lots of money. Then something, you then need a phone call. Well, this came up or that came up. And I'm sorry, we're not going to be able to hire you. We don't know. So even as Christians, our boast must remain within the realm of the Word of God. But while it's in the realm of the Word of God, we can boast mightily. Because what God has said will come to pass, his promises are true. Let me just read this from Ephesians 2, because we're going to be going back to Psalm 30. If you want to go to Psalm 34, and I'll read this from Ephesians chapter 2. I just read it here last week, or within the last weeks. But Ephesians 2, 9 says, talking about grace versus the law, "For we are saved by grace through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast." Now, the New Testament definition for the word boast means to vaunt oneself, to glory, to joy, to rejoice. And if a person can be saved by works, see, again, we can't lose sight of how powerful the Word of God, the law of God, and how difficult are the requirements to gain righteousness by works, by obeying the law. There is, I believe, a humongous, I haven't used that word for a long time, a huge number of Christians whose doctrine and their beliefs have been tainted by some sort of dependence or confidence that, well, you know, I know God loves me, but I've been a good person. The law, Paul makes it clear, condemns everyone who would try to apply it to their lives. Because to gain salvation through works or obedience to the law, I've tried my hardest. To attain salvation by works and have to lean upon the law or circumcision or anything that Paul talks about is to glory, to joy, and to rejoice that I have earned my way to heaven. And I deserve, by my good works, by myself, by my own accomplishments, I deserve to stand in the presence of the Almighty God, and he has nothing on me because I am that good. Now, isn't that a pretty horrendous boast? Yet all those who would come to God and feel they've earned their salvation by works, they are boasting against God. They are rejoicing and rejoicing in themselves rather than God. They're glorying in their own goodness rather than the goodness of God. So we go back to Psalm 34. Hopefully you're there, and I will get there in a moment. Psalm 34. And verse 1, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. O taste and see that the Lord is good, and blessed is the man that trusteth in him. I'll pause there, or stop there. My soul, the only boast to make this stand, to make a show, and to celebrate, my soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The more we realize that it is, we boast in our relationship with God. We boast in the promises, this grace in which we now stand. Our rejoicing, our boasting is God. We say, I know I have eternal life. I know that God loves me. I can boast in the fact that I am going to heaven. Now, that's a celebration. Many in the world would point to you, you're foolish. You can't say that. You can't know that. I can say that because God has told me that. And I will boast in the Lord. I will boast in the power of the blood of Christ. I will boast in the goodness of God and the grace of God who has saved me and set me free. And my soul boasts in the Lord. But kind of like the story with my tractor, I've never had any of those troubles with my tractor before. It never entered into my mind to give God thanks for my tractor until you spend, you know, again, 15, 16 hours and a couple days behind it, you know, running it, and it just keeps doing what it does, and it's 60 years old. And it just struck me, and I just thanked God, and I came here, and I made that boast that I was thankful for my tractor, and immediately, within 2 hours, it died. And I knew it was a spiritual attack. And I looked to the Lord. And I knew, I mean, it's kind of like him looking back at me going, yep, that was the devil. So I got a spiritual battle going on with my tractor. But the next day, it ran fine. And I thanked God again and had more trouble. I said, Lord, this is obviously... You know, I'd open my mouth. I won't go into that story, but there's a story about a little bird in a cold winter day. There's a time to just keep your mouth shut. But if we start to boast in the Lord, I mean, make a show of it. Make a show of it. Celebrate. Celebrate that you're a child of God. Let the world, I mean, if you're having a party or a birthday party or something like that, you'd make a show of. If you had gone to battle, you'd put on your armor and all, and you'd gone to battle and you'd won the victory, and you came back home with the spoils of the victory, and you're taking off your armor, then you can boast. Then you can legitimately celebrate. Our battle with sin, our battle with death, our battle with fear, our battle with our human bodies and the weakness of our bodies, our battle with mortality. I almost said morality. Well, but anyway, mortality is finished. That victory is won. Our God is God. He's the Lord God Almighty. And my soul can make its boast in the Lord legitimately without fear, but knowing that if we boast in the Lord, we're going to draw the direct ire of those who despise that sort of confidence. We're going to make them angry. There's a time to boast. And it's, you might say, the best time to boast is when the victory is won. When the battle is over. For the world, all boasting is premature. For Christians, the party starts today. The party starts right now. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. If I'd never mentioned my tractor, probably wouldn't have problem. I don't know if it would have problems or not. But I'm just glad that the Lord brought to mind that I realize that this is a spiritual battle. I mean, and God is faithful. He brought it to mind. I gave him, you know, it's like kind of like Job. You know, life is going great, you know, and one day, you know, the Lord boasted in Job. We won't go there. That'd be a whole months long study. But the Lord boasted to Job, and the Lord said to Satan, to the devil, and said, "Have you considered my servant Job? He's a just and righteous man. He honors me in all his ways." The Lord boasted in Job. The devil said, "Well, let me have at him a little bit, and I'll turn that boasting. I'll shut your mouth, Lord. I'll make him curse you." See, the devil took on the Lord. The Lord said, "Okay, you can go ahead and I'll take the hedge down here a little bit and see what happens." Just like Ben-Hadad, Satan came in and took, in a sense, Job's children. He took his livestock, didn't take his wife. Took his wealth, took his place, his self-esteem, and brought him down into the dust. And the devil came before the Lord and said, "Well, how's that Job thing going with you?" The Lord said, "He has been faithful. He has not denied me. He has not cursed me." And the devil said, "Well, you know, you won't let me touch his health." The Lord said, "Okay. We'll deal with the mortal things, the bodily things." And suddenly, Job is struck with sores and boils from head to toe. And he sat in an ash pile and scraped himself with broken pottery. Does that sound like modern healthcare to you? That's all he had. He was a defeated, broken, broke. His life had been destroyed in a matter of hours and days, and he suddenly went from wealth and abundance to sitting where they dump ashes and scraping himself with broken pottery just to relieve the pressure and the pain of the boils and the sores. It wasn't until Job learned to boast himself in the Lord and state that God was worthy to be praised, and that Job began, in a sense, to boast in the Lord. And the Lord said, "There you've got it." And the Lord blessed him with twice as much as what he had before. Our day to boast, if you boast, you know, not saying every time in every way, but when you really make a heartfelt boast in your relationship with God, in the goodness of God, in the faithfulness of God, you're making a direct assault on everything, all the lies that the devil has whispered and told this world for centuries and millennia. And I'm standing here today encouraging you. Let's turn to Psalm 44, verse 8. Psalm 44, let me go ahead and finish with this, start with verse 1. Psalm 44, verse 1, we have heard with our ears, O God, our fathers have told us what work thou didst in their days, in the times of old. Lord, we've heard of your goodness from all our lives from a long time ago. How thou didst drive out the heathen out with thy hand and plantedst them, and how thou didst afflict the people and cast them out. They got not the land in possession by their own sword, neither did their own arm save them, but by thy right hand and thine arm and the light of thy countenance, because thou hadst a favor among them or unto them. Thou art my king, O God, command deliverances. Command deliverances. Isn't that the world? If God's really there, why doesn't he cure diseases? Why doesn't he stop wars? Why doesn't he do these things? Well, here the psalmist is writing this out. You know, we have heard of all these things. Lord, King, command deliverances for us now. Though through thee will we push down our enemies. Through thy name we will tread them under that rise up against us. There's a little boasting going on there, isn't there? For I will not trust in my bow, neither shall my sword save me. But thou hast saved us from our enemies and hast put them to shame that hated us. In God we boast all the day long and praise thy name forever. Selah. Now, today, this day is a day for us to legitimately boast, because Christ has won the victory. We put off the armor as if we've won the battle, for we have won the battle against sin and death. Jesus has won it for us. We are living in the victor's camp now. The spoils, everything that of value in human life is ours through Christ. He's blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. And if we would dare to truly make our boast in the Lord, according to God's word, according to God's promises. I'm not going to boast that God, you know, that tomorrow, you know, God's going to give me $10 million tomorrow. I'm not going to make that boast. That's not what the word of God says. But more than that, I may enter into the presence of God in eternity and have eternal life beginning tomorrow. I know, because Christ has atoned for my sin, he's redeemed me from the power of sin and death, and my soul will boast, make its boast in the Lord all the day long. You might expect a little pushback from the world and those around you and Satan himself. Someday I'll write a book. The devil attacked my tractor. I've got two good book titles that came up this week. That's one of them. You know, what a foolish thing. The devil tries to scare us into compliance with lies. And the more that we make our stand with God, the greater our reward, the greater the blessing. We can rejoice in the time when we take off the battlement armor. We are home with the rewards of victory. And we can find rest and rejoicing. Then we can have party. Then we can celebrate. And that's what we are called to do now, is rejoice in the Lord, to celebrate in the Lord, to glory and rejoice. Not in our goodness, not in what we have done, but in Christ has done for us. Boasting. We don't hear a lot about that, but you can legitimately boast today. I hope you do. I hope you. It's a step. There's a step of faith involved there. But boast in what God has done for you and what he's promised you. And you're going to garner some attention from the world around us in one way or another. little testing, a little trial. You don't dare open your mouth about boasting in God. Well, you do. And there's a possibly a battle connected with that, but there's a certain victory connected with that as well. To make our boast in the Lord God, our Savior, Jesus Christ. As you come and take communion, I almost forgot. So as you come and take communion this morning, give God thanks. Give God thanks. That's through Jesus' broken body and his shed blood that we can boast in the hope of salvation today. May God bless you as you come. Amen.